Are there historically mysterious parallels and similarities in assassination attempts of major candidates for the U.S. president? What were the similarities behind the work of the Canadian psychiatrist Donald Ewan Cameron and the man accused of killing Robert F. Kennedy? Was the second Trump assassin, Ryan Wesley Ruth, a Lee Harvey Oswald type figure? What motive might people inside U.S. intelligence agencies have in attempting to kill Donald Trump? What is behind the mainstream media's lack of curiosity about anomalies and discordant information surrounding the attacks on Trump? This week on the Global Research News Hour, we are attempting to probe the near assassinations of Trump this past summer with a leading researcher of the assassination attempts of past presidents and presidential candidates, Lisa Pease. With her expertise, we examine many of the unusual activities getting no attention in mainstream media and try to assess what was gained and what was lost in the attacks. This week's broadcast will be conducted by an associate and friend, David Wright. On this week's program, Patterns in Presidential Assassinations, Reviewing the Attempts on Donald Trump, a conversation with Lisa Pease. Bringing you the analysis beyond the media headlines, the Global Research News Hour is on the air. Welcome to the Global Research News Hour for the week of September 27th, 2024. The program is funded by the Center for Research on Globalization and produced in collaboration with campus community radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm your host, Michael Welch. The show seeks to provide listeners with access to analysis of some of the major issues shaping our world today from thinkers, researchers, and unique political personalities rarely addressed by major media. Our shows are featured on partner radio stations across Canada and the United States and available for streaming or download at the site globalresearch.ca. We acknowledge that this was produced on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Innu, Oji, Cree, Dene, and Dakota, the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis Nation homeland. The settlers to this land benefited from the assets and resources based on faulty promises, broken treaties, force, and other unfair actions used against the indigenous people who were there first. We should endeavor to correct the unjust actions of the past with efforts at reconciliation, including stopping actions that continue in the present, and welcome a new and respectful partnership between settlers and indigenous peoples. Now it's time for News Notes, a sampling of articles from the Global Research News site. Listeners should know that some of the articles may run against common messaging about sensitive subjects and are not all endorsed by this radio station. Consider, for example, the recent developments with a key strategic initiative that you might not have even heard about, upon which America's future competitiveness depends. If we take the time to understand how critical this initiative is to America's global power and prosperity, and at the same time, notice how cavalierly Israel has destroyed any prospect of the initiative succeeding, we can get some idea of the callous disregard Israel has for American interests. What are we talking about? On the 10th of September 2023, representatives from India, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, France, Germany, Italy, Jordan, the EU, and the United States signed a Memorandum of Understanding which committed their countries to a groundbreaking plan that would link production facilities in Asia with markets across the Middle East and Europe. The plan was called the India-Middle East-Europe Economic Corridor, or IMEC, and it was concocted as an alternative to China's expansive Belt and Road Initiative, which has emerged as the gold standard of cross-continent infrastructure projects. That comes from the article, How Israel Torpedoed Washington's Global Strategy, by Mike Whitney, posted September 25th, originally published on the UNS Review. Although Biden spoke about his supposed desire to see a ceasefire in Gaza and for the now expanding war in West Asia to end, it is his government and the ruling class which he serves that is fueling the genocide taking place against the Palestinian people and their neighbors in the region. Since October 7th, 2023, millions of people inside the U.S. have called for the halt to hostilities in Gaza, where the settler colonial Israeli regime has slaughtered over 41,000 people, most of whom are women and children, under the guise of self-defense. From mass demonstrations in the streets and encampments at college and university campuses, the people in the U.S. have made clear their opposition to the foreign policy of Washington in Palestine. A similar situation exists in Ukraine, where the U.S. government has armed and encouraged the regime in Kiev to continue their war against the Russian Federation despite its massive losses in casualties and territory. Rather than seek a negotiated conclusion to the war, the Biden administration is consistently transferring billions of dollars in weapons to Volodymyr Zelensky clique, although there is no prospect for victory against Moscow. That comes from the article. Biden's address at the UN General Assembly, billions of dollars to Israel and Ukraine. U.S. is outnumbered on the Palestinian question. By Abiyomi Azikiwe, posted September 25th. It is important to emphasize that those killed or injured were not from northern Lebanon, where a military clash is raging between the Israeli army and Hezbollah, the movement that is resisting Israeli hegemony in West Asia, including Lebanon. The Israeli terrorist operation appears to have targeted several cities, including Beirut, Lebanon's capital. Its larger aim, apart from what has been stated here, could be to turn a segment of the citizenry against Hezbollah in a volatile situation where different groups are competing for power and control with the active support of foreign actors. The political dimensions of the conflict in Lebanon notwithstanding, the Israeli terror attack of 16th of September should be condemned by all those who reject terrorism as ideology and political practice. It is significant in this regard that while some Western governments have condemned Israel's action, the United States administration has been reticent about Israel's role. That comes from the article, Israeli Terror in Lebanon, by Dr. Chandra Muzaffar, posted September 25th. Contrarianism, at its core, is not merely about opposing popular opinion. It is about probing deeper truths, questioning consensus, and resisting the easy answers that institutions hand down. Historically, contrarian thinkers and whistleblowers have driven some of the most important social changes, from abolitionists who challenged the moral fabric of slavery to investigative journalists who exposed corruption at the highest levels. But in today's media landscape, such voices are increasingly marginalized, if not outright silenced. This is not to say that no dissent exists, but rather that it has been ghettoized into quote-unquote alternative media, or drowned out by the cacophony of celebrity culture, manufactured outrage, and trivialities that dominate the mainstream. That comes from the article, The Vanishing Contrarian Spirit, a world deceived by the powers that be, manufactured consensus and the cult of uniformity, by Professor Ruel F. Pepa, posted September 25th. These are just a few of the featured articles appearing last week on the Global Research website. Regular visitors to the site are encouraged to send monetary contributions by fax, mail, or online. Just go to globalresearch.ca and click Donate on the menu bar. On the Global Research News Hour, we have a special treat this week. As I mentioned, this week we have a co-host as part of our Pass the Mic program here at CKUW. His name is David Wright.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, hi. Now, David, you're a fan of our show, of course.
Absolutely.
But you're also a veteran radio and an interviewer as well. So you're
this is true.
A newbie.
No, thank you. Yeah, thank you for being
here. You co-hosted a show on CJUM, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's at the University of Manitoba.
Absolutely. Yep.
And we've also had some interaction as activists, in addition to media.
Yeah.
And it's a pleasure to have you on. How does it feel to be back on the radio after being away for about close to 8 years or so?
Well, I swore it off. No, I'm joking. I said, never again. No, it's beautiful. It feels very comfortable. It's like being back at home to a certain degree. It's nice to be able to communicate with a larger audience, especially with the guests we have tonight, too. Her ideas are going to be fascinating and people are in for a treat. Also to be here with you, because I really think you're a pioneer and you're one of the true journalists that we have in this city, Michael. Nothing but respect for you. And when you asked me, I was honored. So hopefully I can not only do you a service, but the people out there listening a service as well by providing something that is informative and also hopefully a little entertaining as well. So
yeah, and the fact that you and I have been sort of kind of trying to go through a whole bunch of topics that we could host for the show, and exactly. Eventually, I mean, we decided to land on an assassination interview with this particular host we're going to interview in a minute. How did you exactly decide to tackle that subject?
Well, my specific interest in this subject would be that I'm obviously very concerned about what we're seeing in the United States right now, just with the division that's taking place, the tribalist mentality, how the excessive acceptance of violence is becoming common.
Yeah.
And I really don't care what aisle you're on, what side, left, mm-hmm. right, or Democrat or whatever. It's truthfully, for me, where I stand, it's none of my business. I mean, I certainly would love to engage and have discussions to create a better community and create a better opportunity. But the way that it's been going in the United States right now, to avoid having a discussion about assassination, specifically regarding its history, going back into the history of it, looking at previous assassination attempts, looking at motives and looking at the formula and the blueprint, and then seeing if there are any commonalities with what we are seeing currently. For me, I think that two assassination attempts within a couple months of a possible leader of the free world, as they say, is something that needs to be looked at very critically with an open mind, despite your political allegiance or alliances. There's something larger and greater at risk here if we don't start asking the appropriate questions that are necessary to get to the bottom of what is taking place. And hopefully we can start that this evening.
Okay. Well, let's get into it right now. And I think I'll introduce our guests, first of all, who's waiting patiently for the opportunity to speak to all of our listeners. And that is the incomparable Lisa Pease. As it states on her bio for Spartacus International, Lisa Pease, a lifelong information activist, became a researcher while trying to win arguments on the internet about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. She found that her arguments were more persuasive when she backed them up with cold, hard data. Before she knew it, she had accumulated a massive library of books, including a full 26-volume set of Warren Commission report recordings, clippings, and documents on these cases. When she discovered that the Los Angeles Police Department's records of the Robert Kennedy assassination were available at her local library, she spent many lunch hours, nights, and weekends pouring through the files on microfilm to research that bizarre case. Lisa Pease, co-editor and publisher of Probe magazine from 1995 to 2000, Lisa has been a featured speaker at several seminars in Dallas and Los Angeles. Lisa Pease is also the co-editor with James DiEugenio of The Assassinations back in 2003, that covers the deaths of John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and Malcolm X. She's also the chief archivist of the Real History Archives website. So, Lisa Pease, welcome to the Global Research News Hour. Now, just to start, I just wanted to bring up that segue on what the things that David was just saying. I mean, we have, RFK was on the campaign trail for president, and he was shot to death. Now we have another person close to the end of the campaign and leading up to the Republican National Convention, and he was shot at, although they didn't succeed. But I'm actually struck by that, and also struck by the fact that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's he came to disagree with the whole idea that Kennedy was shot by this one man, Sirhan, and he is now throwing his support behind Trump. You know, in spite of, I've been thinking himself, like, well, if he runs to the Democratic convention, it might not be so well. So I guess I just want to maybe, if you could point out a little bit about, is there anything about those similarities, those sort of patterns there that's... Right. Yeah. Mm.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether or not you're looking at the history of, like, even Theodore Kaczynski and some of the tests that were done on him, you take a look at... Absolutely. For sure. Yep. Yep. Yes. I was... Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to say that I just wanted to say that I very much appreciate the way that you, because this is factual information, this is easily verifiable going into MKUltra, and one of the things that you had talked about previously was you talked about, and I'm just going to jump in history a little bit here, because this was one of the most compelling things that you had shared, to me at least, and I still have the image you constructed in my mind of the woman in the polka dot dress. Do you mind talking a little bit just about that specific moment? Absolutely. Exactly. No. Yes. Numerous witnesses. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Hmm. Yes. No, but I was going, everybody should, and one of the things that I think is important about you setting this up like this and explaining this to people as well is the fact that when you talk about conspiracy, unfortunately, it goes often into a realm where people almost disassociate, they can't make a connection, so as you mentioned, they might pull away and not pay attention. But you know what? One of the things that's important to recognize is that the MKUltra program is verifiable. I'm not saying this was necessarily MKUltra. However, though, the similarities you can't ignore. And Donald Ewan... Perfect. Absolutely. Well, in the... Yeah. Absolutely. No. Exactly. Yeah. Just to add some clarity to the audience as well. I would encourage people to take a look up Donald Ewan Cameron, who's a Canadian psychiatrist. He was responsible for the MKUltra project. He worked with the CIA and he was in Quebec. Exactly. This is, yes, exactly, including here in Manitoba. Yeah.
You're listening to the Global Research News Hour, broadcasting from CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg and from partnering radio stations across Canada and the United States.
I was going to mention that as well. One of the things that I think you could take a look at is there similarities through whether or not you go into COINTELPRO or you go into intelligence involvement in various assassinations, as I'm sure we could probably communicate about this for hours talking about. I would love to just, you know, go in there and... Yes, please. That's exactly what I'm interested in. Yes. Yes. Yep. Whether. Yes, excellent. Yep. Yes. 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 Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely, yep. Yes. Yes. Wilkes Booth, yeah. Yep. I think the only piece of like public documentation is his appearance in a BlackRock commercial. Other than that, there's really no. No, for sure. Yeah, that's an area. Well, I mean, the head of BlackRock was part of Trump's team, right? So, well, let's take a look at a little bit of the information specific to the case. Like, for instance, and we're just kind of a generalization, because I think you're absolutely correct in the sense that the Secret Service was ill-prepared and or... absolutely. I was trying to be nice. Yes. It's been reported that 20 to 25 minutes before Thomas Matthew Cook's shot at the president, there were snipers and photographs and information was being sent out already, basically to kind of... also, you got to keep in mind, too, I think for perspective, when we talk about this, we're talking about 100 yards. And so next time you're sitting there and you're watching a football game, think about looking to one end of the field and the other, and that's the distance that a sniper got... formerly most powerful people in the world, and that is how close someone got. And that's not even including more recently the second assassination attempt that we are facing. Yes, yes, Ryan Wesley Ruth, who got within, I'll just add 300 yards. He got within 300 yards. Now, would you think Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? It was... Yeah. Yep. Yes. And I was literally going to ask you if you saw any commonalities between previous cases and this, and you're already like way ahead of me. So I did want to point out. What is your opinion on the fact that they publicized or they put out his letter, which specifically states that he would offer $150,000 to anyone who could finish the job? Do you feel that was irresponsible? Like It made mainstream. Like it's been on some of the more turn on cable U.S. shows in Canada, but in Canada too, it's been briefly touched on. But I know what a bizarre. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's been strange how, like, too, one of the areas that I've kind of focused on that's been slightly concerning to me is that if you take a look at like Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, or you take a look at some of the lead Democrats or that leaning figures, the way that there's been calls for violence coming from that side as well, and then also just in terms of like I right, yeah. Yeah, you don't have to be a supporter of him to ask yourself, what is going on? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh. I'll become stronger, yeah, than you could ever... Yeah. That's funny. It's no. I'm going to draw a general comparison, and I'm just wondering if you've seen similarities, because I want to leave it up to you to fill it in. If you haven't, that's fine too. But when we were talking about Ryan Wesley, the second assassin, his connection to Ukraine. When I was looking at his position, how he was going there, and he's coming back, and he's trying to recruit, and I just saw Lee Harvey Oswald. Like exactly. I don't know if I would say that, but sorry. Go ahead, please elaborate, please. Yes. Yeah, I've seen him speak, and he's definitely no. Well, exactly. If I might add, I was just gonna say that if we're gonna, like, you're gonna communicate about his intelligence, this is an individual who knew enough to be able to go in and out of Ukraine. Also, then he was able to set up, get information regarding when Trump was going to be there. He knew well enough to how long to stay, brought a video camera so that potentially he could sell it or GoPro, like whatever he was going to do with that video. So this is not an average individual of lower intelligence. He had motive and for sure. Yeah, I know. Well, it's been yes. Well, I know. I was actually going to say with, yeah. Oh, for. Yeah, they call them deep underground military bases, right? Dumbs. Yeah. For sure. There seems to be some interesting cultural phenomenon regarding the markers of someone who's been brainwashed. Like, you often see Alice in Wonderland and you see butterflies, or you see and you'll also see A Catcher in the Rye, as you mentioned, with Mark David Chapman. This is why my mind kind of went off in this direction. Yes. Yes, exactly. I remember that was, I can't remember off the top of my head. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I am so grateful you mentioned that program. I know, it's tricky. What I would propose as if you wanted to go into that realm and you're interested in wanting to give it a little bit of validity, is I would take a look at, like, honeypots, and I would take a look at, like, some of the other countries' methods of using sex as persuasion and using women as a means of gathering intelligence, stuff like that. Yeah. So to bring it back to Trump, because I am, like I said, I really wish that I could go into these other areas with you, because I would love to just I'm so impressed I was going to mention Monarch Program, and I knew that you knew it already, but I'm so happy that. What's this? Oh, really? Oh, yeah. No, I've seen that with the one eye and whatnot, right? And you know what? I know this wasn't initially the direction we were going to go, but I mean, like, what you're talking about right now too is when you talk about mind control and celebrities being programmed or being part of intelligence operations. I think it's important to recognize that you got on the right. Two things I'll mention. Two points I'll make very quickly. One, if you take a look at mainstream media, for a period of time, you had the head pundit was Tucker Carlson on the right, and you had Anderson Cooper. And what is the commonality between them? They're both CIA washouts, right? You have Anderson Vanderbilt, heir to the family fortune, the Vanderbilt family fortune. Then you have Tucker Swanson, heir to the Swanson family fortune. So these are both intelligence agency washouts from extremely wealthy families who are the head of the left and the right. And this other point that I was going to make was that if you take a look too in the mainstream media right now, which I don't want to go off into this area, whether or not it's a distraction, because as you were presenting earlier, what's going on in Gaza and stuff, that whole realm should be focused on. And there's a lot of stuff coming out. But when we're talking about the legitimacy of these claims regarding mind control and using drugs or alcohol, we take a look at I really don't want to go too much into this, but with what's going on with P. Diddy and the allegations that are happening right now, this is mainstream news where we can see. Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Of course. Yeah. Oprah? Oh, Taylor Swift. Yeah. Yeah, no. I did want to ask, so you have suggested that there's a possibility that there may have been a coordinated effort through intelligence communities to attempt an assassination on Donald Trump. Now, we don't have too much time left, but I really would be remiss. I just wanted to ask, if you wanted to be more specific. Yeah, if you want to clear. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Please. Yes. Okay. Can I ask you if you believe that like you mentioned before that with Ryan Reslie Roth there that he seemed like he might have been intelligent. Just theoretically throwing it out there, what would be the motive? What would be the motive to if there was a focused effort to, let's say, take out Trump, what is the motive? Not who's necessarily responsible, but like just your personal opinion. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. 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 Yes. 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 So I think those are two excellent motives for the possibility that there was a intelligence slash well. Yeah. I know. I know. Where do you? We only have a few minutes left. Where? What would you? Where would you like to see? Like, where would you like to see the atmosphere of politics go? Like, where would you like to see it head from this point on? Hmm. Yes. Yep. Yep, breathe the oxygen they pump. Yep. Yep. For sure. Yes. I wanted to ask you one more question. Do you, now, of course, I'm not asking you to look into a crystal ball here. If you had to make a prediction, who do you think is going to win this year's presidential race? Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Okay.
You know, Lisa Pisa, it's Michael Welch here. I, you know, thank you for your time. I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Your work on, I mean, fascinating conversation that we've had, and it's
amazing.
Really,
thank you.
It's really
that would
sure.
be great.
Yeah.
I will.
I just wanted to ask you though. Your latest book is it was back out in 2018, A Lie Too Big to Fail: The Real History of the Assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. Do you have a new book or maybe whether it's an update or anything like that that you're maybe looking forward to present to in the public eye? Okay. Oh, okay.
No, okay. That's okay. Yeah. We will. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And just maybe one more question before we close for sure. The media's examination of it, because, I mean, the media has been, like, you know, not asking the popular questions around Kennedy when Robert F. Kennedy died. You know, what? Yeah. And yeah. You know, when it comes to Trump, I mean, like, you know, assassination attempt number one, assassination number two. What, you know, given your own recollection, what, you know, single question or what single, you know, curiosity really, you know, pricks, you know, gets under their skin? Why aren't they saying this? Why aren't they asking that? That sort of thing. What really occurs to you now? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't he had false credentials too, yeah.
Well, we got about 30 seconds, but go ahead.
Oh, no.
Okay, it's been a pleasure and an honor speaking to you.
Thank you, Lisa, very much.
Thank you so much for being our guest. Okay, bye-bye. Well, thank you for hosting us.
My pleasure,
my friend. You're a brilliant interviewer.
You're a fantastic leader in the community, and you always have been. So, like I said, to be able to step up and help in any way is an honor, my friend. So,
okay.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And that's it for our show. And tune in next week for more on the subject of what's going on out there. Take care.
You're listening to the Global Research News Hour, a program funded by the Center for Research on Globalization and produced in collaboration with campus community radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe, Ininu, Oji-Cree, Dene, and Dakota, the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis Nation homeland. The show airs on partner radio stations across Canada and the United States and is available for streaming or download at the site globalresearch.ca. To leave feedback on this program, please email globalresearchnewshour@gmail.com. I've been your host, Michael Welch. Thanks once again for joining us.